The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness. A cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth. The trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today we're going to look at the essence of my message regarding creation. An overview? There's considerable debate regarding creation versus evolution, and erudite broadcasts that present the arguments for and against in detail, but generally using points that are difficult to understand and difficult to prove. This broadcast will address the topic using simple to understand examples from everyday life. I will assert that engineering proves there is a creator and that nature proves there is a creator and the human body likewise proves that there is a creator. It will be presented that the periodic table of elements proves there is a creator. It is asserted that air and water prove that there is a creator, as does the diversity of foods and the existence of domestic animals. I will stress that planet Earth and the universe prove there is a creator, as does sexual reproduction, sexual lovemaking, the clitoris, and pornography. It will be strongly asserted the DNA proves that there is a creator. It will be stressed that controlled randomness proves there's a creator, as do discrete forms, and the fact that these are stable and not evolving. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy of the Church, and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. And see also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the top menu, the show, and on the drop-down podcasts for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. There are quite a few podcast sites where you'll find Relationship with Creator Radio. So my message, 2021.05.06, the essence of my message regarding creation. There is considerable debate regarding creation versus evolution, an erudite broadcast that present the arguments for and against in detail, but generally using points that are difficult to understand and difficult to prove. Many years ago, I got into an argument with the editor of the History Channel on TV about the reality of creation. I went down the road of quoting people I considered authoritative and quoting the Bible, and he responded that he regarded my authorities as charlatans and the Bible as irrelevant, and that left me high and dry. I then decided that I would see if I could prove creation based on my personal observations and things I could personally vouch for. So in 2004, I wrote an ebook, Creation versus Evolution, What is the Origin and Purpose of Man?, in which I mostly achieved my objective. This is on the website. Use the Google search to find it. Since then, I've done a lot more thinking and a lot more observing, and this article summarizes the essence of my conclusions through this journey. See the images on the corresponding webpage on the website. Folks, if you're unsure whether there is a creator, if you're unsure whether there is an omniscient, omnipotent power that is behind all of this, then this message is really for you. I know that as an intellectual, I went through a period where I really doubted His existence. And looking back on that now, it's kind of crazy, the mental gymnastics that we will go through to convince ourselves that all of this just happened. And what I'm going to seek to show you now is that it didn't just happen, that it was carefully planned, carefully designed, carefully manufactured. I'm going to do my best to show you that there are things that you can get exposure to in your day-to-day existence which clearly evidence the existence of the Creator. And I hope by the end of this broadcast that you will be in a position to say, yes, I get it. He must exist. So I'm going to assert that engineering proves there's a creator. We live in a technically complex and sophisticated world where we're surrounded by engineering structures of great sophistication and complexity. If you have any knowledge of how these systems and structures are created, you will know that they take thousands of hours of time by highly qualified engineers and a wide diversity of highly qualified specialist disciplines to conceptualize, design, build, and operate. They do not come into existence by some random evolutionary process. They come into existence through a highly structured and highly systematic engineering design, construct, and operate process with large numbers of highly skilled professionals in multidisciplinary teams. I suggest for your consideration that this universe, this planet, the plants, the animals, the human beings required an even more sophisticated design, construct, and operate process than even the most advanced human-engineered structures and systems. And therefore, I assert that there has to have been a creative agency, that is, a supernatural creator who brought this all into existence. It is also important to recognize that the design of these structures and systems evolves as engineers gain experience with designing and building and operating them. I therefore assert that during the creative process, the Almighty Creator progressed in an evolutionary manner, progressively learning more and more about the systems and beings that he was creating. I then want to go on and suggest that nature itself proves there is a creator. Many people who do not believe in a creator nevertheless are enthusiastic about what they call nature and seek to preserve nature. It is my contention that what we call nature, being the topography, diversity of plants, diversity of animals, etc., is indicative of a very sophisticated and highly creative agency that conceptualized, designed, assembled, and deployed all that we call nature. I therefore suggest for your consideration that the marvelous diversity of this thing we call nature could only have come about through the intervention of a supernatural creative agency. I further suggest for your consideration that nature came about in a structured evolutionary manner in which the most simple organisms were created first, with more and more sophisticated organisms and entities being created as experience was gained with the simpler organisms. This process potentially took place over thousands and possibly hundreds of thousands of years and was evolutionary in nature. I then want to suggest to you that the human body proves there is a creator. The human body is a massively complex system with overall complexity and sophistication way more complex than the most sophisticated and complex systems invented by human beings. In addition to this, it contains sophisticated mechanisms to allow to replicate and create new human beings that are an exact merge of their parents. We take it for granted that there are dozens of medical and clinical specialities that are required to look after and maintain the human body when it fails to operate as expected, as a consequence of illness, abuse, or other dysfunction. Yet many people do not recognize the overarching intelligence necessary to create all of this. We also take it for granted that human beings are perceived to be attractive in diverse ways, in diverse cultures. How did this happen? Randomly? Again, we can see that the creation of human beings took place in an evolutionary manner with various animal forms, particularly apes, created progressively as the creator gained experience in getting to what he wanted to create. That said, human beings are not descended from apes. They are a distinct creative genre. I then want to suggest for your consideration that the periodic table of elements proves that there is a creator. Wikipedia states, and I'm going to read the following piece, so forgive me if it's a little bit tedious, but it's worth listening to this. The periodic table, also known as the periodic table of elements, is a tabular display of the chemical elements which are arranged by atomic number, electron configuration, and recurring chemical properties. The structure of the table shows periodic trends. The seven rows of the table, called periods, generally have metals on the left and nonmetals on the right. The columns, called groups, contain elements with similar chemical behaviors. Six groups have accepted names as well as assigned numbers. For example, group 17 elements are the halogens. Group 18 are the noble gases. Also displayed are four simple rectangular areas or blocks associated with the filling of different atomic orbitals. The elements from atomic numbers 1, hydrogen, to 118, oganesson, have all been discovered or synthesized, completing 7 full rows of the periodic table. The first 94 elements, hydrogen to plutonium, all occur naturally, though some are found only in trace amounts, and a few were discovered in nature only after having first been synthesized. Elements 95 to 118 have only been synthesized in laboratories, nuclear reactions, or nuclear explosions. The synthesis of elements having high atomic numbers is currently being pursued. These elements would begin an eighth row, and theoretical work has been done to suggest possible candidates for this extension. Numerous synthetic radioisotopes of naturally occurring elements have also been produced in laboratories. The organization of the periodic table can be used to derive relationships between the various element properties and also to predict chemical properties and behaviors of undiscovered or newly synthesized elements. Russian chemist Dmitry Mendeleev published the first recognizable periodic table in 1869, developed mainly to illustrate periodic trends of the then known elements. He also predicted some properties of unidentified elements that were expected to fill gaps within the table. Most of his forecasts soon proved to be correct, culminating with the discovery of gallium and germanium in 1875 and 1886 respectively, which corroborated his predictions. Mendeleev's idea has been slowly expanded and refined with the discovery or synthesis of further new elements and the development of new theoretical models to explain chemical behavior. The modern periodic table now provides a useful framework for analyzing chemical reactions and continues to be widely used in chemistry, nuclear physics, and other sciences. Some discussion remains ongoing regarding the placement and categorization of specific elements, the future extension and limits of the table, and whether there is an optimal form of the table. As I've stated before, the discovery of the full table of elements took place over many years as human beings gained more knowledge. The periodic table is one of the key elements of what makes the entire creation possible. It required a highly sophisticated and highly visionary agency to create this before matter could be created. Then on top of this, a massive diversity of compounds were created and continue to be created using these building blocks to give rise to all that is in the universe, from the microscopic organism on Earth to the majesty of the planets in the universe. There is no way that this table could have come into existence in a random self-inventing process. There has to have been a highly intelligent and visionary creative agency. Note that the complexity of the universe, with millions, if not billions, of stars, planets, etc., is such that this certainly developed progressively over millions of years at the very least, and the periodic table had to exist before all of this. Folks, that is so important. If you subscribe to what I call random evolution, that things just happened and they worked themselves out. Before a single molecule of rock or whatever could be formed, such that there was a mass of material which could take part in the Big Bang, which would then form all these stars and solar systems and suns and planets and what have you. This periodic table had to be worked out precisely. And then compounds created, or elements and compounds created in accordance with the table, to create the mass that took part in the Big Bang. And I really encourage you to recognize that that cannot have happened except with a very, very intelligent creative agency. I then want to suggest for your consideration that air and water prove that there is a creator. As an extension of the previous point, there are a wide variety of molecules and compounds that are necessary for the universe, the solar system, this planet, plants, animals, and human beings to exist. Perhaps the most notable are air and water. About 60% of the human body is water, and water makes up a material component of all plants and animals. Without water, there could not be life, and without water, living organisms die. How did a random evolutionary process know to create water before it could create life? Frankly, I find the idea really rather silly. I mean, there was a time when I didn't, but I do now. I'm sorry if it offends you. It is my contention that there has to have been a creative agency with a clear view of where things were going in order to first create hydrogen and oxygen and then create water and put it on Earth. Similarly, without air, virtually all plants and animals, and certainly human beings, could not exist. Note that air is a carefully balanced mixture of nitrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide, water vapors, and some other gases. Note that oxygen on its own would be explosive, so careful thought went into the composition of air, and this had to be completed and air created in the atmosphere around the Earth before any plants or animals, let alone human beings, could be created. I then suggest that the diversity of foods prove that there is a creator. We find ourselves with a huge diversity of plant and animal foodstuffs that we can consume, not just in order to exist, but in order to thrive and enjoy life. In some random evolutionary process, how would the plants and animals, while evolving in some random progression, know to create such a diversity of delightful tastes and textures and plant and animal components that human beings and animals might consume and enjoy, as well as finding them highly nutritious? This again speaks to the existence of a highly imaginative creative agency. And then domestic animals prove there's a creator. The existence of domestic animals, cattle for milk, beef and leather, sheep for meat and wool, chickens for eggs and meat, etc., not to mention domestic cats and dogs, all point to a creator who wanted to ensure the greatest diversity of provision for the human beings he was planning to create. If you stop and think about it in the context of a so-called evolutionary model, what is the point of domestic cats and domestic dogs in particular? They are dependent on human beings. They provide human beings with a lot of entertainment, a lot of pleasure, but they serve no purpose in a broader scheme of evolutionary development. Then planet Earth and the universe prove there's a creator. The complexity of the universe, the solar system, this planet, all point to a massive creative agency with a highly developed view of what was being created, such that the solar system and planet Earth operate in a stable and reliable environment in space that is suitable for this planet to have exactly the right atmosphere, gravitational field, etc., to support the diversity of life forms that exist on the planet. This did not happen randomly or by accident. It was clearly designed and executed over a very long period of time in an incremental, that is, evolutionary manner. Note that in the process of creating this solar system and this planet in an evolutionary experimental manner, it is entirely probable that there are other solar systems and planets which are similar to ours, some of which were created and discarded before our system was created, and others that may be in the pipeline in case this experiment fails. Folks, everything that I'm setting out here points to pre-planning. It points to forward thinking. It points to a clear vision of where this was all going to end up, starting with absolutely fundamental microscopic building blocks that were progressively assembled step by step, stage by stage, to get to a point where planet Earth exists, where you and I exist, where we have earth to breathe, air to breathe, water to drink, and so forth. And then sexual reproduction proves there's a creator. The vast majority of animals and most of the more advanced forms of plants reproduce sexually. In other words, male reproductive organs produce male gametes or reproductive cells, which are transferred to the female reproductive organs where they fuse with the female gametes, reproductive cells. This can be through sexual intercourse, as in the human beings and mammals, or it can be through forms of pollination by bees, wind, or other agencies in some types of plants, or in other ways. In the case of butterflies and most insects, the adult male form of the butterfly fertilizes the female adult, who then lays eggs. These eggs hatch and turn into caterpillars, which in time pupate and form a chrysalis, which in time hatches into a butterfly. It is vital to recognize that in all of these situations, that this mechanism is a central component of ensuring that the species continues to exist and maintains its characteristics for innumerable generations. It is also vital to recognize that all components of the cycle have to work perfectly in order to produce the next generation, and therefore in order to ensure the continuation of the species. This being so, it is mechanically impossible for these plants and animals to have developed in an evolutionary self-inventing manner. All components had to be created together and all had to function effectively and reliably, else the species would die out at the first generation. Note that in the case of a bird's nest, it is necessary for the bird to even know how to craft the nest, lay its eggs in the nest, and then sit on the eggs and incubate them. All of this requires enduring programming by the creator. This again points to a highly precise and highly inventive creative agency who created all of these components and made them function together. And then I suggest that sexual lovemaking proves there is a creator. Sexual lovemaking manifests in some birds and animals and is highly pronounced in human beings. In many birds and even some insects, there are courtship rituals before mating. Human beings, those who are moderately sensitive, who become romantically involved with another human being and experience an emotion that we call love, that can become extremely strong and intense, such that two people in love can communicate telepathically across great distances. The phenomenon of both partners sending a message on their mobile phones at exactly the same moment, for example. This phenomenon that we call love, associated with sexual lovemaking, serves little or no purpose in a world where everything happens as a random string of stochastic evolutionary events. In such a world, there is no need and indeed no place for love, affection, etc. These are major spiritual forces that again point to the hand of a loving, imaginative, and creative genius who put this all together so that these intangible feelings and emotions would work in and through us. Folks, think about it. If you're an adult and you have ever enjoyed sexual lovemaking, how did that come about in a random evolutionary manner? It's carefully designed, all the body parts, all the feelings, all the emotions, the joy, the pleasure. It was all crafted by a creator. And then forgive me for being a little explicit, but the clitoris proves there's a creator. Women and female mammals have a clitoris, an organ that serves no useful purpose except to stimulate intense sexual pleasure at a level that causes the female to desire sexual intercourse over and above what is required for reproduction and, in the human, sexual foreplay. The clitoris cannot have evolved. How did it know to exist to produce sexual pleasure? How did sexual pleasure know to exist? This certainly requires the involvement of a sensitive and creative agency intending to create a highly sophisticated being which enjoyed sexual lovemaking. Folks, this is an important point. There are so many pieces that I'm touching on, where if you really step back and think logically, they could not have come into existence by some sort of progressive random process. They had to be put there by an agency that had a very clear plan of where things were going and what was required. And as I say, the sexual reproduction is perhaps the most distinct piece that is available to every one of us to understand. And then forgive me for saying this, but it bears saying, and that is that pornography proves there's a creator. Pornography exists because of intense preoccupation of human beings with sex and sexuality. Many human beings engage with pornography. A search on Google returns 923 million instances of the word pornography and reveals that about 200,000 Americans are classified as porn addicts. 40 million American people regularly visit porn sites, and 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. This preoccupation with recreational sex with no intention to reproduce is, like the clitoris, a reflection of the reality that human beings were created to enjoy sex. Again, this is not something that would have resulted from a random evolutionary process. It speaks to programming to enjoy sex that at some level has gone horribly wrong. This is partly a reaction to a puritanical and repressive view of sex that characterizes most religion, which has turned people off enjoying sex within their marital setting and made adultery a wholesale pastime amongst many people. Folks, this is again is such an important point. The Creator, Father Yah, intended us to enjoy sex within a lifetime covenant relationship. People who dumb down and suppress sex within marriage have got it all wrong. People who go out and enjoy sex on a casual basis without commitment, without a lifetime relationship, have also got it all wrong. And a lot of that is in a reaction to bad teaching by religious people. And pornography is a fundamental indicator of that. And then DNA proves there's a creator. So we're going to read from Wikipedia again, so bear with me, a little bit tedious, but I think it makes an important point. Wikipedia reports deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA, is a molecule composed of two polynucleotide chains that coil around each other to form a double helix carrying genetic instructions for the development, functioning, growth, and reproduction of all known organisms and many viruses. DNA and ribonucleic acid, RNA, are nucleic acids, alongside proteins, lipids, and complex carbohydrates, polysaccharides. Nucleic acids are one of the four major types of macromolecules that are essential for all known forms of life. The two DNA strands are known as polynucleotides, as they are composed of similar monomeric units called nucleotides. Each nucleotide is composed of one of four nitrogen-containing nuclear bases, cytosine, guanine, adenine, or thymine, a sugar called deoxyribose, and a phosphate group. The nucleotides are joined to one another in a chain by covalent bonds, known as the phosphodiester linkage, between the sugar of one nucleotide and the phosphate of the next, resulting in an alternating sugar phosphate backbone. The nitrogenous bases of the two separate polynucleotide strands are bound together according to base pairing rules A with T and C with G, with hydrogen bonds to make double-stranded DNA. The complementary nitrogenous bases are divided into two groups, pyrimidines and purines. In DNA, the pyrimidines are thymine and cytosine, and the purines are adenine and guanine. Both strands of double-stranded DNA store the same biological information. This information is replicated, and as and when the two strands separate, a large part of DNA, more than 90% for humans, is non-coding, meaning that these sections do not serve as patterns for protein sequences. The two strands of DNA run in opposite directions to each other and are thus anti-parallel. Attached to each sugar is one of four types of nuclear bases, informally bases. It is the sequence of these four nuclear bases along the backbone that encodes genetic information. RNA strands are created using DNA strands as a template in a process called transcription, where DNA bases are exchanged for their corresponding bases, except in the case of thymine, for which RNA substitutes uracil. Under the genetic code, these RNA strands specify the sequence of amino acids within proteins in a process called translation. Within eukaryotic cells, DNA is organized into long structures called chromosomes. Before typical cell division, these chromosomes are duplicated in the process of DNA replication, providing a complete set of chromosomes for each daughter cell. Eukaryotic organisms, animals, plants, fungi, and protists, store most of their DNA inside the cell nucleus as nuclear DNA, and some in the mitochondria as mitochondrial DNA, or in chloroplasts or chloroplast DNA. In contrast, prokaryotes, bacteria, and archaea store their DNA only in the cytoplasm, in circular chromosomes. Within eukaryotic chromosomes, chromatin proteins such as histones compact and organize DNA. These compacting structures guide the interactions between DNA and other proteins, helping control which parts of the DNA are transcribed. See DNA in Wikipedia. Folks, forgive me, that was kind of tedious and long, but I want you to get how complex DNA is, and that it had to exist before the first living thing could come into existence, and it had to be sophisticated enough in its design to be able to reproduce you and me. This is not something that happened randomly, unpredictably, stochastically. From the preceding quote, I want to stress, development, functioning, growth, and reproduction of all known organisms. All known organisms. I suggest for your consideration, this again points to a creative genius who developed a model for the reproduction and maintenance of consistent standards in virtually all living organisms, plant, animal, and human, before creation began. This model had to work for the most elementary organisms and still work for the most sophisticated organism, human beings. There is no way that such a sophisticated and versatile mechanism could have evolved in a random evolutionary process. That said, I stress again that the progressive creation of more and more sophisticated entities took place in an experimental, that is, an evolutionary manner. So please understand my point. On the one hand, there was an overarching strategic architecture. On the other hand, there was a micro level of experimentation and progressive sophistication of development as the Almighty gained experience with these things that he was creative. It's really, really important to get this. And then controlled randomness proves there is a creator. Security systems are built on a phenomenon that I call controlled randomness. Every human being is recognizably the same at a macro level, but at a micro level, every human being is unique, one-off. For example, fingerprints are unique, retina patterns are unique, faces are unique. All of these attributes are used in security systems in complete confidence that they are not repeated in any two human beings. Controlled randomness also exists within animals and plants. For example, it is claimed that no two snowflakes are identical. So we have a phenomenon where every human being is different at a micro level, and every human being is the same on a macro level. Thus, we find that the reproductive process rigorously controls the pattern for the offspring of any male-female pair to be a precise merge of the attributes of the two parents. And yet, within that control process, every person is measurably unique. This is not the outcome of some random progressive evolutionary process. It is the outcome of a creative genius who set out to design and build beings of this complexity. Please ponder on what I'm sharing with you. There's just no ways that any of these things could happen without a creative agency. And then discrete forms prove there's a creator. In considering plants and animals, it is vital to recognize that all these living organisms exist in discrete forms. So thus, with each family, there are a range of discrete forms, each of which has distinct nuances. Citrus is recognizably citrus. Apples are distinctly apples. Cats are distinctly cats. Dogs are distinctly dogs. Humans are distinctly humans, etc. In the event of a random progressive evolutionary development of these forms, there would be innumerable intermediate forms, and certainly not the discrete classes that we have in the world around us. These discrete forms clearly speak to a creative genius who created distinct forms as an expression of creativity and to give humankind quality products to enjoy. It is also so that discrete forms are stable and not evolving. It is also important to note that these discrete forms are stable and are not evolving. So apparently these forms evolved to a point and then collectively took a decision to stop evolving. Archaeological finds indicate that human and other forms have been distinct and without major change for thousands of years. It's really unwise to suggest that these things have evolved to a certain point and having reached perfection are now static. Again, this speaks to creation, not random, progressive, uncontrolled evolution. Folks, that's all I've got time for today. I plan to continue this next week. There's quite a few further points that I want to share with you. But I would really ask you to consider the reality that none of the things I've spoken about today could have come into existence randomly in an uncontrolled evolutionary manner. There has to have been a creative agency. So I'd like to step off and ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. The sole reason we exist, the sole reason this entire universe exists, is because the Almighty Creator was lonely. If you like, He was bored. He wanted something to do, and He particularly wanted intelligent, sensitive, caring, loving beings to be in relationship with Him. So He assembled all of this stuff so that you and I could have a deep personal relationship with Him, could commune with Him, could enter into dialogue with Him, who could do things together with Him. And if you're not doing that, you're completely missing the point of why you're on this planet, why you're alive, why you're breathing. So to wrap up, some key documents and a video on the website menu. Compendium of important articles, video on why seek relationship, the miracle of Yeshua's death, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, Where will you spend eternity? The essence of my message to Christians and also similar articles to Muslims, Jews, other believers and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries1word.org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for quote Relationship with Creator Radio. There are several podcast libraries on the web, on the internet, that have these broadcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. And I publish regular email articles pretty much every Saturday. Mail me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's J-A-M-E-S @endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the mailing list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly powerful. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I can hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, as I said a moment ago, the sole reason you exist is to be a friend of the Creator. If I've got your attention with that, please give me a call. And even if you don't give me a call, get on your knees and say, Father Yah, James says you want to be my friend. I want to be your friend. Help me to get there. There's a huge amount of information on the website. There are a number of articles about getting to become a friend, what it means to become a friend, how you get to become a friend. And it doesn't matter your race, your age, your education, your finances. He wants to become your friend. It doesn't matter what anybody else has told you. He wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. Doesn't matter if you're short or tall, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, he wants you to become his friend. And he will help you to get there. I will help you to get there. So I really encourage you now just to put all the objections aside and say, Father Yah, I want to become your friend. Thank you so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you. Of my hands. Bye.